guitar.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. Oh, and Jeremy has been making PowerPoints and lots of them.
I haven't used Access, though. I don't know anything about Access.
Access is scary.
Access is a database building program.
But it is nice if you actually know how to use it.
We spent, of a 3-month course, we spent 2 months on it.
Yep. Well, there's a lot you can do with it.
Out of a 3-month course for Office, we spent 2 months in Access.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can do with Access.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's an amazing program if you know what you're doing. But the thing is versus other database building programs that are out there, it's a little clunky.
Anyway, well, this is This Week in Tech. No, wait. This isn't. This is
it could
Gamers
be This
Haven.
Week in Tech.
No. We don't have national sponsorship like they do. So
we could.
It's true.
But
we are incorporating currently. Yes.
That's right. If you donate money to us, you could actually get it
yes.
as a tax write-off now.
That's right. We're working on becoming Gamers Haven Incorporated.
You should have tried for a religion instead or a church.
It's the same type of tax-exempt status.
Sweet. Except less going to hell.
Less going to hell, yes. Did you join the Church of Gamers Haven? Yes. If you would join the Church of Gamers Haven, you should send us an email. Better yet, send us money. The great Mansquito will thank you. That or Jeremy will cackle maniacally.
Yeah.
Because he does that a lot randomly, really.
And sit on your pile of money.
Yes.
Which we'll be sending.
It's not a profit we're making. He's just sitting. He just wants it so he can sit on it.
I would rather have gems, gold coins.
Gems, gold coins. Festal virgins, you know. Although I think Robin
sitting
would
on
frown
them.
On,
yeah.
Robin would frown on that one, I think.
Not know. To mention sitting on them might be kind of odd.
And uncomfortable. Because they're probably very bony.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Oh no, there's probably fat Vestal virgins
out
there.
I don't want any fat.
You don't Vestal want fat virgins. Chicks? Oh, okay.
Not
you know.
No, I don't want Jabba showing up to, like, you know.
My
layer
sandwich.
Because then I'd have to have, like, the kobolds, you know.
And when you look at them and you can't tell that they're naked, there's something horribly wrong.
Yes, when they jiggle in all the wrong places. Anyway.
Well, now that we've offended, you know.
Now that we've offended 98% of our audience.
What? There goes the other 2%.
Yep, they're gone. So we're here all alone now.
Our audience is all
Hello.
Just fat chicks.
Echo.
That's messed up.
No, I would hope our audience isn't all fat chicks, because then they have names like Stuart Crump and Sanjian Unkara and others.
That's awesome. So,
but
our
hey, if
fans...
they call themselves that, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Well, they're still our fans.
Yes.
So they can still send gold
well,
and gems.
According to my current calculations, I think we have a total of maybe four fans. Maybe
five.
I don't know. We've got a couple in Canada now. We've got the one in New Zealand who emailed us. We do have one in South Africa, which is kind of cool.
Should ask about the spaceship hovering over their country.
Oh, in South Africa? Yeah. We'll see about that in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And why they treat the prawns so badly. Anyway, what are we talking about today? I think we're going to make a vain attempt to talk about
NPCs, right?
NPCs mm-hmm. running them, making them, that sort of thing, with our usual random tangents off into the land of
craziness.
Downloadable content or something. I don't know. Or boobs, the role-playing game.
Boobs.
We'll get to that in the random encounters, because we have an email about the boobs.
About boobs?
About boobs.
Boobs, the
yes.
role-playing game.
Yes.
Was it just a picture of random boobs?
No. It was about our discussion of Conan, Age of Boobs.
Conan,
Age of Boobs.
Boobs.
I thought it was Age of Boobs.
Conan, Age of Boobs, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the game was Age of Conan, so wouldn't it be Age of Boobs, the Conan game?
No.
No.
Okay. I'll take your guys' word for it. I just played
it's Boobs, the RPG.
Yeah. That's much better.
Boobs the MMORPG.
MMORPG. I thought it was MMORPGR.
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 I like to call it Boobs. So, with one more saying of Boobs, we'll be back.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present... A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.canadiancrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
As we said in the intro, today on the Gamers Haven podcast, we're talking about Fuddruckers.
Fuddruckers and boobs.
Fuddruckers and boobs, yes. Or not. Or boobruckers and fuds? No.
No, that's...
Wait, I got confused again.
That's wrong.
I get confused a lot.
That's a special
guys.
Type of food. Yes. Of Fuddruckers.
But you could have an NPC who is obsessed with Fuddruckers and boobs.
Well, I did have an NPC boobruckers that was named Fistadicolus.
Fistadicolus, yes. Fistadicolus.
And he always got made fun of as for his name, and he's like, what? It's a family name.
I think we've run into him a few times.
Yeah,
now.
I usually reincarnate him as something.
Uh-huh. Well, there's also Zargon, Lord of Chickens.
Zargon, Lord of Chickens. But that's more of a curse, so anybody could become Zargon, Lord of Chickens.
Although you have to admit, Zargon, Lord of Chickens was pretty damn cool.
That's true. But we're talking about NPCs. And I know I need some help in this category, because I don't think my NPCs are too memorable, but, you know.
Neither are mine, usually. That's because I usually end up dying in horrible, terrible ways before they actually have a chance to do anything, because the players ignore them.
See, I find that, first of all, if you're running a module type encounter, obviously the NPCs that are provided are generally hard to sort of flesh out on your own. It's like, okay, like with all the Deadlands stuff, it's like, okay, there are all these people in the camp. Oh, crap, I've read their description. I know their stuff, but, you know, what do I do from there?
Well, then players, though, attach themselves to random NPCs that might have one piece of information.
Uh-huh. Book gives you two sentences on, if that, and one of the sentences GM-only information, you know?
Yeah. But you're like, well,
and the other sentence is just a really lame description. It's like, he is tall, dark, and handsome.
And then as a GM, you have to go with it, because it's like, yeah, we could go with the NPC that you're, like, throwing in our face, or we can go with the bar chick.
Yes. So, you know, if you have the time, what I should do is I didn't have the time to do this, is I'll sit down with all and sort of dance to the music. Dance, 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 magic dance.
Hello.
Jeremy got a call during the podcast. And we're going to leave this all in because it's funny.
Yeah.
We can, while he's on the phone, we can make fun of him, too.
Yeah.
Go to UVD.
Oh.
-76.
So our listeners need to go to UVD-76. To listen to what? This is the Russian sound?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, now that Jeremy is off the phone.
Hey, it was an important phone call.
Yeah, it's true. It was about Russian noise.
Russian robot spy noise.
Robot, atomic robot alien noise.
Well, probably not Russian, more Soviet.
You could have an NPC who speaks just like that all the time.
Could. In a Soviet robot spy sort of way?
Yes, and he could insist that he's not a Soviet robot spy and talk to everyone using comrade and, you know, wear a big Bolshevik hat.
I'm not a robot Russian spy.
Comrade. Then randomly he breaks out into, you know, the Russian dance.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Anyway, making NPCs. It's always an interesting chore.
Well, that's how you start.
Yes, is you find a
stereotype.
Or really, playing stereotypes is not a bad idea.
No, they're just funny.
Yeah.
I mean, some people get pissed off, but that's just because they don't have a sense of humor.
Exactly. But, like, I mean, you've built a lot of memorable NPCs in your time, Jeremy. What pointers can you give as far as building an NPC? What's the first thing you start with?
Well, it depends on the scene. It depends on what's needed. So I'll just look at what's needed. Because the problem with NPCs is they can flop.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every NPC I created that was memorable, there's like, you know, a dozen more that are just total flops.
Right, and you don't want the NPC to get out of hand, you know. You don't want it to become, you know, the GM player character.
I mean, you can do that as long as the players are still the focal point.
Right.
Because one thing that sometimes irritates me is the NPC is totally useless. If you introduce an NPC that is like a warrior, he should act like a warrior.
Right.
But if you introduce an NPC who's a peasant, well, he doesn't have to necessarily act like all peasants, but...
Well, I'm always on the lookout trying not to introduce NPCs that will constantly show up the characters type of thing, you know? It's like, here's this warrior, and I don't want this warrior to, you know, kick everyone's butt, you know?
Unless you are trying to show them up for a reason.
Right.
Like, this is the bad guy, or this is the bad guy's crony, and...
It's like, I want them to not like this guy, right?
Yeah. Though, at the same time, an NPC that's the same level as the players... That maybe helps once in a while. It depends on the size of your group. But I'll look at the scene, see what's needed. But I do start with stereotypes. And when we're talking about stereotypes, I don't necessarily mean like real world stereotypes. I mean like fantasy world, sci-fi world, you know, stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just run with that. But then I'll try to put a twist to it. You know, it's like the gay orcish butler.
Yes.
Slightly offensive, I guess, but... hilarious.
Again, play to your audience, you know. I mean, if you have people that are going to be easily offended by that,
if
then
you have
you know
a gay orc butler in your group,
mm-hmm.
you probably don't want to have an NPC that's a gay orc butler.
Probably, yes.
Unless he's okay with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I start with a stereotype, and, you know, some books will say write down various, you know, things about the NPC. If you like doing that, that's great. I usually do that just so I don't forget. But usually my first set of notes I end up trashing because the NPC goes a different route and I'm like, okay, well, I'd rather the NPC that way,
mm-hmm.
be that way.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a bit of evolution in there or intelligent design in Kansas. That the NPC or any character really, but the NPC will sort of go in its own direction.
Well, it has to feed off of the players.
Right, depending on the interaction with the players.
So if you've got a fallen paladin, and the fallen paladin, you know, at first you kind of built somebody who's going to be vicious and just murders people and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but as the game goes on, the sister of the fallen paladin actually wants to interact,
right,
and you create more of a character who is, you know, destroyed by his sins, you know, things like that. And it just depends on how the players want to go about it, how they want to interact. But as I brought up at the beginning, then there's those random NPCs where people are just like fascinated. Either one, it was played well, or
yes,
two,
the players will latch onto just the most random things usually. And we know that. I mean,
right, all of us do.
It's like, here's this throwaway NPC. Oh wait, they love him.
Yes,
they are following him around.
They are following him around. They don't want him to die. I do that a lot as a player because it's like this random person probably has nothing to do with the plot.
But he's really cool.
But he could. But not to mention that makes your player character, it makes the characters more real.
Right.
Because if you are living in a world, you aren't only going to talk to the people that are, like, important.
Yes, they're not just going to talk to the people with exclamation points over their
right.
head.
Right. The quest givers might be...
Well, maybe in 4th edition.
Well, maybe in 4th. do you guys talk in
No.
No, I'm but I still complain bitterly because Nathan I swear
still
to God,
complains when I'm running Shadowfell.
It is. It's Dungeons and Dragons 4th ed, the MMO version of D&D.
And that's just how some of the games are written, or some of the like that particular.
I don't know. From the way that I've been from and yours is not the only game I've now played 4th ed D&D with, Ethan. I've played in 2 other games now. Total, my overall perception is all of my concerns were founded. All the things that I had problems with after playing them and seeing them in effect, I still have problems with them. So it's one of those things. It's not a bad system, but it's not a system
what
for me.
What I'm saying is the campaign was, that particular game was written like that. That particular adventure was written like that.
Yeah.
That's the same feel I got when I went through it. I'm like, that guy's going to give me a quest.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I think you're going to run into that with any pre-generated...
Oh, yeah. Any pre-generated adventure's going to have an issue like that. But the other game I had run was one run by Andre, and it wasn't a pre-generated adventure. And it still... It was like, wow, this is a tabletop MMO.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, the only thing I can say to that is I think... You know, third ed can do that as well. Though.
Oh, yeah.
So I think
any
one
of them can.
All of them can do that. I mean, so it just depends on how it's played and how it's thought about.
But, you know, the memorable NPCs is you want to, I think you need to go out of your way not to have the guy who stands in the same spot, you know, with the exclamation point over his head that everyone goes and talks to for quests, you know.
Well
it's like the noble in the noble you guys ran into in Shadowfell.
The dork.
Yeah, he's not written that way. At all. He's really sort of given, hey, he's supposed to be a nice noble, and I just decided he's going to be a foppish twat, you know? Complete.
Can we say that word?
Twat?
No, I don't think we can.
We can't say twat.
We can't say twat? Well, we just did.
Well, that's going to be smurfed.
You mean twat?
Sad.
Yes.
We should replace it all with twat.
We should. Smurfing. Lots of smurfing.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that is a British curse term.
That's fine. Yeah. Our British people can be offended.
Yeah, the British don't listen to us anyway.
Yeah, well, it's not the British.
No,
people.
We do have a British guy who listens to us. Eighth Pagan is British.
Yeah. No.
But he doesn't count.
He doesn't count.
He's a pagan.
The British
he's
wouldn't
the
have as much of an issue with it. Think of what the term twat is usually referred to in the English in America.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're going to have problems. Not with Britain. Britain, they'd be like, he called him a twat. But no, the Americans would be like, I can't believe he just said that word.
Twat?
Yeah.
He's not recording anymore, I don't think.
No, I'm still recording.
Oh, okay.
Totally recording.
Sweet.
We've been recording for 8 whole minutes now.
So we're just going to keep the twat.
Yes. Well, for now.
Okay.
Maybe I'll go in and, you know,
edit it
smurf
out.
It. Smurf it. Just be like Smurfs. Smurf NPCs. Hey. This is fascinating. And Salen is saying hello to everybody.
Who the hell is that?
It's our Canadian fan.
Oh.
Sylvain?
And my Canadian girlfriend.
Oh, your special friend in Canada.
Yes, my special friend in Canada. Okay. Hello, special friend in Canada. Let's see.
We should all wave.
Yes, we wave. She says it's important for NPCs to have actual lives outside of the scene. It also makes them more interesting when they're a player as well.
But we were having a conversation about
also
Smurfs
makes you more pissed off when they get killed because the players do stupid crap. It's
that's
like,
true.
Do you know how much work I put into that character?
It's like in my D&D game, you got so attached to those two dwarven prostitutes.
I like the dwarven prostitutes. Same ogre game.
There
was the ogre. Then there was
Bruxat,
the next guy. Yes.
I can't remember what his name
ogre
was.
First, the ogre's like, I'll give my soul. No, you won't, you jackass. You don't even know what you're doing. I'll give my soul. Oh, I'm an ogre.
Yeah.
Don't care.
It's interesting to see who people attach to. Even in video games, it's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
I know in Neverwinter Nights, I immediately attached to the kobold follower guy. What was his name?
See, I hated it.
Yeah. I loved him. I was like, I'm a dick to everyone else, but he's my boy.
Yeah, Fippy. Right. Yeah, Fippy was not bad. No, it's funny because you guys all hate what's her name in Dragon Age.
I don't know.
Morgan?
No, I think Morgan's a bitch.
Yeah, she is.
No, the other one.
Liliana?
Liliana.
I don't have a problem with Liliana.
Andre thinks she's absolutely retarded. She's
even better. I don't know who that is.
Yes. Yes. Well, you have a computer that can run it now.
You now have a computer that can run it. So
you can afford to actually get the game right now, but, you know, there is that.
But if they send me gold and jewels that I can sit on,
you will go buy a copy of Dragon Age.
And then you have the recurring NPCs. So you have just your NPCs that, hey, I'm going to run into this person and then maybe run into them again some other time, maybe, possibly. Well, but then you have the recurring ones.
Some NPCs are important.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say important, I don't mean the ones who actually generate the plot. Because for a player, those aren't really important. What's important is
those are the plot hooks.
The innkeeper who keeps you fed.
Yes.
Or well, the barkeep.
And I'd say as a GM, you should definitely keep notes on those NPCs, because if the players tend to attach themselves to one, note that, because you could actually use that at some point. It's like, oh, hey, what would you guys do if you suddenly received a letter letter from a Coffin Rock that said Carl been kidnapped? You know?
We would mosey back.
Because you liked Carl.
I like Carl.
Even though he was drunk.
If it was Liz.
If it was Lizzie.
He would come back and just start killing people.
I'll keep that in mind.
Liz is the bar. The bar.
Yeah, the new owner.
She now owns the bar, which has been...
John thinks of her as a sister.
She's a very sweet lady.
And she's just a random NPC.
Yes. She was just a random ex-whore.
Not a whore anymore.
Not a whore anymore. Owns a saloon now called the Little Bear.
That would also be bad for somebody. Well, she's just an ex-whore. Pop! And now you're dead.
Yeah, that's just... Like, that's just
I wasn't even thinking there. That was just reflex.
But, I mean, that's... It's like the random NPC that you save...
Yeah.
Who really is just there so that you have some innocent bystanders.
Yeah, don't be afraid if you're running a module adventures to inject something.
Like the NPC that just got killed, was it Spence?
Steen, Private Steen, yes.
Yeah, and everyone was like, "Aw, I knew it was going to happen, but that sucked." Because he managed to make it through the entire hell that was the train ride there.
Made it through the whole train ride and then
gets killed by something else.
Something else, yes. Well, you know.
He was unlucky.
Yeah. Well, I think with NPCs, you definitely have to, again, try to make them a little bit memorable. Make them don't be afraid to throw in personal ticks. You know, I find it's sometimes a good idea to throw in you know, something about their personality, as far as, you know, okay, fidgets a lot, or he you know, chews on tobacco all the time, or one of his eyes is lazy. You know, something like that. To sort of latch onto.
I usually take offense to the lazy eyelid, because I have that in real life.
Well, you're a twat.
Well, we don't care.
So there.
Sit and spin. When you get to possibly the elbow, you know the ride's over.
This is just fascinating, really. You guys, you know. You guys been married long?
It started with boobs.
Goit.
It did start with boobs, yes. Don't be afraid to give your NPC boobs. Yes.
Whether male, female, or other. A good pair and or a large set of boobs.
Like just in a jar?
You remember the pearl? Women.
Yeah.
Oh, this is totally random, but it's so disgusting. I gotta present it.
Okay. Tangent alert.
So, I think it's the game Arcanus. It's a computer game, and it's hard as hell.
Is it the steampunk one?
Yeah.
It's Arcanum. Arcanum.
Well, at one point you get to the city, finally. And
after wandering around in the woods and then
for a ridiculous number of times. Well, when you get to the city, they have a brothel. And there's like some adventures or whatever you can do there. But you talk to the prostitutes. And at one point they'll say, well, we have all these prostitutes, but then we also have some special rooms. Like, okay, well, what do you have? And in one of the rooms, there's a sheep. And you can stay with the sheep. Which is horrifying that was even thought of.
And that was a Sierra game.
Whoa.
Anyway.
So you could have a sheep NPC.
You could have a sheep NPC.
And if you're in Montana, it would be scared.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
Well, I kind of look at it this way. I'll occasionally get my NPC ideas from real people.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And I think about it almost like in real life where you have friends, you have family members, and you have acquaintances. NPCs are acquaintances a lot of times. They're the people that just will show up. You know who they are. You may or may not know their names.
Yeah.
They show up, they do something important.
And then they leave.
And then they leave.
Or they do something in general that you remember. Yeah.
It could be as simple as the maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Or even some random...
So, I mean, that's definitely a thing, is to think about people you've met in the past and sort of go, okay, janitor from my elementary school. Boom,
there we go. Not to mention you can throw off players by having them notice something that is completely and utterly mundane.
Yes.
But since you're describing it, it's obviously important.
Yes.
And maybe you're just a jackass that night. You ate a bad sandwich or something, so you decided to...
Yeah.
Smurf with the players.
We like smurfing.
Or on a failed perception check, most people usually end up going with the failed perception check saying, well, you don't see anything.
Right.
Well, instead, have them notice the mundane NPC, like the maintenance guy working on the freaking air conditioner. That's not important. But you critically failed, so you're staring at that going, he's obviously a terrorist. He's setting up a bomb.
Exactly.
You know, and then
as you wrench off a bar,
yeah, and you
to go beat the poor air conditioned repairman,
or the
air conditioned repairman just goes, oh,
the
again.
Random baker in the medieval village looks at you and squints wrong, and you're like, that's the necromancer. And they do murder him in the night, you know. It's like, well,
somebody murdered the baker last night.
He wasn't a baker, he was a necromancer. I found bread, I didn't find any body parts. Crap.
Yeah, I think that would be the point when it was time to leave town.
Yeah.
Or burn the town down.
Or burn the town down, there is that.
That's always your response to when you screw up something like that. Oh, it's time to burn the town down to cover my tracks.
We like burning.
Sometimes a good burning is all that's really needed.
I've always found it difficult to really try to make NPCs memorable, but not make them upstage the characters. But you can do it.
Yeah.
It's just a fine line I think you have to walk.
Well, especially if the party is missing something.
Yeah.
If the party's missing something.
Well, that's, you know, I think there is definitely a difference between the NPCs you meet and the NPCs that travel with you type of thing.
Yeah.
Is you don't want them to step on the toes of another player, especially if it's an NPC who travels with you, you know, who does this and this and this, you know. I mean, I certainly don't think we'd want another gunfighter traveling with you guys, because really, John's got that covered, you know.
But, you know, if you hire NPCs,
mm-hmm.
especially if a player actively goes out to find an NPC to do something for them, then that NPC, depending on what the player's looking for, should be able to accomplish that goal.
Right.
And it's like, if you don't have magic in your party and you need some sort of magic, well, that NPC should be able, if one's available. And that's not necessarily upstating. That's just, you need that particular skill. But if you just watch people occasionally, whether in real life, on television, not so much on the internet, because, you know, like, I think the more visual cues work better for getting ideas for designing NPCs. How people act.
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble keeping a straight face. So my serious NPCs don't usually stay serious. Or if they do, I try to keep it short. Because I just...
Yeah, and that's going to vary from GM to GM and the players, too.
But you can have serious NPCs that still get stuck in comical situations.
Right.
But, I mean, I would recommend, especially starting off, you know, make a list of things. There's tons of generators out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Seventh Sanctum is a good place to go.
Yeah, Seventh Sanctum has great things. Names are always a problem for me, so I use a generator or make sure I write them down so that... You know, when you come back to the bar, you know, the bar, and you're like, well, the guy's name was, you know, Bruce, but now it's Bob, and they're like,
what happened to Bob?
Are you
what happened to
a
Bruce?
Doppelganger?
And you go, fuck with Bruce.
Bruce is. And you dig through your notes and you're like, oh, there's a marquee. Yeah, he's a doppelganger now. Doppelganger.
Yes, because players will find those. Players will find those little inconsistencies and jump on you for it.
Right.
You know, it's and like, wait a minute.
Sometimes
this was a barmaid last time. It was.
If you can cover your tracks, then it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But if you can't, you just bite your tongue. You just say, fine. You know what? I screwed up.
Yes.
It's okay to do that occasionally.
Yes, because players are going to understand that and go, well, you know, yeah, he's got a whole thing going on in that head of his, so, you know.
He's got the whole world in his head. The rest of us just have this one freaking character to worry about.
Yeah.
We are like little mites to be stomped on. And we issued him a summary
beatdown.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what else really to add to our very brief NBC discussion.
Pitchers.
Pictures. Oh yeah, that is a good
pictures as well as people. Now I'm bad with actors.
Yes.
So if you give me an actor name, I'm like, I don't know who the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
If you give me a movie, I'll probably be like, okay, yeah, I know what he looks like.
Right.
But pictures and actors for NPCs. Because this is one reason I started doing the PowerPoints. I was at some random site, some gaming blog. I never remember because I never stay with the blogs.
Right.
But They pointed out that for the beginning of their games, they use PowerPoints.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they have the title of the game, what episode it is, and then they have the cast of characters.
Okay. That's they a good idea.
They have a cast of... Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. The cast of they the important NPCs. You have to start NPCs, that with D&D. Whether
or
they,
with Deadlands.
I would almost say if the NPC is important enough, that maybe even if they haven't met them yet, depending on the situation. Like, let's say there is an important noble in town. You could probably put them on the cast of characters or NPCs because that's okay. You know, the characters might know who he is. The players might not.
Right.
Then put important, like a slide with maybe a picture and then like a very brief summary of what happened. And you just let it play. And then people are like, well, it's interaction. And then you let the players, and you'll have some generic pictures for the players that don't want to or haven't gotten pictures yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point you ask, can you find a picture on the internet or whatever? Send right. me a picture, wear a funny hat, I don't care. But for NPCs, if you can put a face to it, and for me, I need the actual face. Like, I the name doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, though, if I would give you an actor's name, you'd probably be yeah. like, oh, yeah, I can. But for me, I'm like, I need to see them.
Right.
So if you, the more you can do with your NPCs, like PowerPoint, or if they're wanted, do a wanted poster with the NPC on it. The evil lord, you know, find a picture, find a miniature, you know, something. If you can't afford miniatures, then pictures are cheap because
they're mm-hmm. free. Yeah, and looking through pictures also can get your juices flowing for the character as right. well, because you can see the picture and go, this is what I get from this. I can you know, add a little tick here and there.
And it is okay to totally steal NPCs
oh, yeah.
from books that you've read, mm-hmm. because most players are going to be okay with, again, it goes back to the stereotypes. There are certain wizards that you just assume are going to be the wise old wizard.
Right.
That's okay to a point. Now, the wise old wizard might also eat babies. You know,
man, you know.
You add a little.
As long as he has barbecue sauce, he's good.
Yeah. But you may see a cool character in a book, and you're like, I want to make that an NPC.
Mm-hmm.
At least an NPC that the players want to strive to become or meet. That's one thing you can do with epic level NPCs. The NPC isn't actually there when the action's occurring,
mm-hmm.
but they get to meet him.
Right.
So therefore, they're not upstage because they know that this is such and such, you know, the great dragon warrior or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, we can meet him. But when it comes to the actual fight, he's over there fighting a titan. And, you know, you're over here with your important battle.
Hmm.
See, there's lots of different
things. Goblins.
Those are a lot of good ideas.
I mean, that's how you can... I see nothing wrong with a powerful NPC as long as... The action has to be at the players.
Yeah.
Now, if a player turns around and looks over there, because some players might be like, well, I want to see what's going on.
Right.
As long as the guy's not a dick.
Yeah, well, or being a dick could be part of his personality.
That could be part of his personality, but he needs to be liked somehow. He could be a dick and still liked.
Yeah, well, ultimately, it depends on what you want to use the NPC for.
But if if your game is, you know, hey, they're first level characters and you're being attacked by this. The reason you're introducing this monster is because at some point in the future, they're going to fight those types of monsters. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're first level characters.
Yeah.
So they're going to run into minions, things like that. It's not that it's not important. It is.
Oh, yeah, that's what I tried to get across on the D&D game with the elf guy who you took his boots eventually, was he didn't care about you guys. He didn't know right. who you were, didn't care. I mean, that's why he stripped you of your stuff, melted it down, and threw you guys into a slave pit.
Right.
Because he was like, whatever.
But,
and of course, that eventually got him, you know, disintegrated by a sphere of annihilation or an umbral bolt, and you guys have his ever-smoking boots.
Right. Ever-smoking boots.
But there is a point.
They enchanted them to always smoke.
But our Canadian fan, who I will never remember her name unless I'm looking at it.
Saylin.
Yeah. Totally forgot it already.
That's cool.
So
we actually have two Canadian fans.
Okay, so one of them, whoever spoke to you just recently, she had a very good point, though, that NPCs should have lives outside of what's happening. And you should at least ponder it. And we're just saying, hey, I know this NPC lives somewhere. Is it really important where he lives?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, you don't really necessarily need to have their whole life story.
No. But one of the neatest things is like Morrowind or any of those particular games. You might meet somebody random and they'll tell you this random story about whatever. And you're like,
why do I care?
I don't care, but it's detail though.
Yeah.
It's neat sometimes. See, I'm one of those players that like those little, it doesn't have anything to do with the plot.
Yeah.
But I like it because
it does. It adds some depth to the game.
It adds depth to the game. It adds a feeling of realism. So, and I've known GMs who can do NPCs way better than me. Good Mike, who used to run Star Wars as well as Vampire and Werewolf and Mage. Most of his NPCs were silly.
The Good World of Darkness stuff.
Yeah, right? The Good World of Darkness stuff. But his NPCs were awesome. Because, like, in Star Wars, you know, we would always fight a very feminine male dark Jedi with rhinestones and, you know, like, a giant belt buckle. Now, and the guy would... Do you remember that?
Yeah, he cut your brother's character's arm off.
Well, you know, it happens. That's what arms are for. You have two of them. But various characters like that.
Sure.
Villains... friends, you know. And sometimes people forget about how about family members for your, because family members for your players, there comes a point where it's ridiculous that everybody in the party is like, well, I don't have any family members.
Yes. I was my parents were killed at a young age.
Now, there is a safety.
I was raised by wolves.
There is a safety.
The wolves
net
died.
That. And that
people
safety
found
net,
me died.
That safety net's understood.
I was an orphan.
I mean, that's understood depending on the GM. Because there's always a chance that GM.
Orphanarium where I grew up with burned down after I left.
Right.
Yes. No one survived. I know for sure. I counted the bodies. Yeah.
And that's fine if your GM is evil. And we're not talking a little evil. We're talking like, you know, this is going to torture you. Well, then don't give them anything. But if
that's
you know.
That's half the fun, though.
Yeah, that is half the
that
fun.
That is half
yes,
the
you know,
fun.
You give them something to. You throw the GM a little bone to play with. You know, it's like, okay, here's this character. He's a barbarian. He's a barbarian chieftain's son who is manifesting wiggity sorcerer powers. And so he's being, you know, sent off to, you know, learn how to control these powers and whatnot. And he has his mother is an elf. And so he's a half elf, but. Or he's human, and he has there's a half elf in the party who could be his half brother. Who knows? You know, I mean, that's just stuff that you can throw in.
Well, not to mention, where does the party go, either between games or during a downtime?
Mm-hmm.
How many characters, if you look at the character's point of view, are going to want to stay at inns all the time or sleep right. outside all the time? If they have a village they can go to, they're going to want to.
Right, little and base of operations.
Even if those NPCs are only going to last for 15 minutes in a session, 10 minutes, 5 seconds, whatever, meaning you visit, you say hi to these individuals, fine. But that could lead to other things down the road. You could find out that, You know, your character's father has the deed to an old castle, you know, all sorts of things. So I really think you do kind of have to work on your NPCs. I think sometimes, like, people that do acting, things like that, might have an easier time with some of the NPCs.
Yeah, acting and improv type of
improv
stuff.
Improv,
yeah.
Definitely. If you're not sure, though, just watch people.
Yeah.
And before you go look at any of the NPC generating books, anything like that, just sit down at some place, like a mall. A mall's
yeah,
a good
go
place.
Go to a mall, go to a park,
go to a museum.
Go to the airport, you know, whatever.
Obviously, don't be creepy,
yeah,
because they'll pick you up and
yes,
think you're a terrorist or something.
There
but
is that.
You can people watch without being creepy.
Yes. But that is a good idea.
Don't sit there and take, you know, pictures, because...
Yeah, then you get arrested, yeah, right? Yeah, there's that whole... Especially if they're children. Don't take pictures of children. Yeah. Yeah. Or boobs, really.
Or boobs. Yeah, well, if the boobs are floating around...
Yeah, I mean, if they're out in plain
boobs
sight...
Boobs are
then
out...
Really,
yeah.
That's fair game at that point. Really, yeah. But,
I mean, like in, you know...
No invasion of privacy.
Age of Conan, you know, if
age
boobs,
of boobs
are just
yeah,
floating
totally
around. Mm-hmm. Or you have a bottle of boobs, or, you know,
yeah,
they're on your head.
That's you true. Know. That's true. Well, we will be back after this.
Cover them up with a hat.
You may have heard Keep on the Shadowfell before, but you've never heard it like this. From the gaming group that brought you The Wizards College... Join them as they delve into 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, some of them for the first time. The town of Brook Hollow stands watch over a ruined keep that was once a bastion of good in the realm. The keep overlooks the Shadow Rift, a dark scar in the world that was once a gateway to the Shadowfell, but has been dormant for many years. Now an evil cleric of Orcus, demon lord of the undead, seeks to reopen the gate, and the only thing standing in his way is a small yet determined band of heroes. Dungeons & Dragons, 4th edition. Keep on the Shadowfell. Redux. And we are back, and on today's lovely three-parter that we pounded our head against the wall to figure out what we were going to talk about, I'm going to talk about a new board game I just picked up called Shootin' Ladders Fragfest. Nathan's going to rant about something because we love Nathan's rants, and Jeremy is going to talk about what he's into, basically. So we'll go ahead and get started with the lovely review.
The review.
All right. Now, for those people who have listened to the show, we have been able to play on occasion a game from Smirk and Dagger Games called Run for Your Life Candyman, which is billed as a good game gone bad. Completely under the radar, and to my surprise, Smirk and Dagger Games put out a new game called Shootin' Ladders Fragfest, which is another good game gone bad. Essentially, what it is take your multiplayer deathmatch from Halo, put it on a board game, and replace all the Master Chiefs with gingerbread men, and you're playing on the Shoots and Ladders board, more or less. You can shoot off limbs. You can have rocket-guided ice cream pops. It's totally a twisted and wrong game that is hysterically funny. In fact, when I played it, I believe in the first round of the game, I was cornered by someone who unloaded on me with a Gatling gum. Tore off one of my arms. It was kind of amusing.
Were you using real cookies?
We were not using real cookies, no.
We are going to do that at some point.
Yes. You can, because you have damage tracks on a gingerbread man diagram. And actually, you can go to their website and actually have a link to a person who's made who makes plush ones that have detachable limbs. I went ahead and I laminated a few of the sheets so we can reuse them on a regular basis. But 3 to 8 players, it is putting the thing together is kind of a pain because you have you get about 10, I think. 12 dice. You get a dozen dice, but they're all dice blanks, and you have to put the stickers on the sides for the numbers and the symbols yourself, which is kind of annoying, but I understand they probably went that way for cost reasons. Other than that, once you get that done, it's actually pretty easy to do. It's your basic sort of shoots and ladders movement. You know, ladder. If you land on a ladder, you move up. If you land on a chute or a slide, you go down. So, pretty basic stuff. We played. It took us about an hour to go through it. The way the game goes is there are spawn points, and on different scenarios, you can actually respawn after you're killed. When you can go around the board and pick up different gear. So like there's gear, there's weapons, and then there's other things you can pick up to reload weapons. You can get a chainsaw or a candy chainsaw, basically. Tac nuke weapons, which is always fun. That damage whole sections of the board. It was a lot of fun. Very, like I said, it's definitely a game for twisted people. It retails for about $38 from Smirk and Dagger Games. It is, I think, worth every penny. A ton of fun. So I would say go check it out.
The Rant.
My mic on? Okay.
Yes, your mic is on. And the levels. We're watching the levels with bated breath right now.
Well, I'm going to try to remain calm because I'm going to talk about something that really irritates me.
Try to censor yourself. You know.
Good luck on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready with the Smurf annotations. Okay. I recently got an email from Sony Online Entertainment giving me a free 14-day trial to come back and play EverQuest 2. I never really had any problems with EverQuest 2, aside from the fact that there was never anybody on that I knew on when I was able to play. So it was a very lonely experience. A very lonely and death-filled experience, as a matter of fact, because the monsters absolutely rape you in that game. Or they did, because I played it when it first came out. So I figured, what the heck, I'll get back on it. And, you know, there's no one on. But the problem is every time you run into someone, you get that whole idea that they're suffering from rectal cranial inversion. It's like, what is it in people's minds, and the same thing stems to every console that has online control, what is it that makes people think that the instant that they suddenly are anonymous, they can act like total
Smurf
holes and not have any repercussions? It's like, oh, well, they can't see my face, so I can treat this person like dirt because there's nothing they can do about it. Newsflash, dumbass.
Smurf.
You have a username. That username can be tracked back to an account. That account can be tracked back to a live name. That live name can be tracked back to an address. If you have someone out there who's really pissed off that you really mistreat, they can find you. And if they want to do terrible things to you, they will. That's a fact of life.
Nathan speaks from experience on this?
No. No, I've never been so angry that I wanted to track someone down and hurt them in ways that cannot be talked about. But the fact of the matter is there's this thing called road rage. And people know about road rage. There needs to be some little information about something called internet rage. Because there are people that do it. You hear stories of people tracking down people from forums and beating the ever-loving crap out of them. It happens. Same thing can happen for any video game and any console out there. People, don't be dicks. Because there are people out there that are really nice people. Yeah. I may not be the nicest of people, and I may ignore you when you ask me a question. Because, one, either I don't know the answer, or two, I'm busy. But if I have the time, I will actually type out a response. Don't be dicks.
We like rectal cranium inversion.
That's it's cranial rectal inversion.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. You've never heard that before? Yeah, that's actually a legitimate saying that I heard somewhere else. So I didn't come up with that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a legitimate like procedure and or disease.
I'm sure I could find pictures of people Mexico. Suffering from it.
Only in Mexico. But, came along a spine flu.
Yeah. With a sombrero. But
swine flu.
Just because you think you're anonymous doesn't give you the right to try to treat people with disrespect. Because eventually what's going to happen is everything you do is going to be tagged with all your information.
Oh, yeah.
Your anonymity will be gone. Privacy is dead.
There's the guy who is suing everyone and their mother now, but this guy who is suing, amongst other things, suing Blizzard and suing, really it started with him suing Microsoft for them banning his account for his Xbox Live account because he violated forum rules. He was really rude, really confrontational. He was a dick. So he's filed a lawsuit saying that Microsoft has infringed on his freedom of speech. Of course, this is ridiculous.
Well, the thing is you lose that right when you sign an end-user license agreement that says that you will not do that.
There's that, but that has absolutely nothing to do with it because they're not a government entity.
Yeah.
They're not stopping you from voicing your opinion. They're just saying, this forum is our private property. If we ask you to leave, we can.
Yeah, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone we choose.
But yeah, he's sued them. He's suing Sony. He's suing Blizzard for, quote, making, because World of Warcraft isn't fun enough. This is a real guy. Real lawsuits.
He's suing them because it's not fun enough. Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can find the article. Maybe that will be a random encounter.
If he gets money for that, there's a lot of people I need to sue for their games not being fun enough.
Yeah, like Masters of Orion 3.
It's just
3.
Like, what? You can't sue.
Because the game doesn't live up to your expectations.
Yeah.
You...
If that actually goes anywhere, that's going to open or set such a precedent that people are going to be suing left and right.
I am shocked by the stupidity of this individual for even thinking that this will, and if a lawyer is actually and this is going to possibly get in the way of our court systems.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of things that our court should be working on more than this.
There's many more, even though this wouldn't be criminal, it would be civil. That's meaningless. There are much more. No, that's just disgusts me. Actually, I'm actually disgusted by that. I mean, I understand his crazy desire on the other one, fine, but that one just I'm speechless.
Yeah, but the thing is when you sign an end user license agreement, you agree to adhere to the requirements listed therein. Which means if they say you must act within accordance of this policy here and you violate it, they have the right to go, bye, this is our property, see you later, don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
And there is a level of being a dick that you shouldn't cross.
Yeah, I mean
if you want to put somebody on ignore, fine, do it. I
do it all the time.
Ignore all the time. Because I was like, I don't like what that person's saying. I put them on ignore.
You never have to listen to them again.
I've actually had people then message me and say, why was I, or no, they'd message somebody else and that person would ask, why is this person on ignore? I'm like, because I didn't like what he was saying. That's all. All
right. Essentially what happened is this guy started it started with Sony banning his PSN account. This gentleman suing over a banned account, the PlayStation Network is important to this guy because he was banned for inappropriate behavior in the game Resistance Fall of Man. He had to do something to get it back, which was, for him, file a lawsuit. Apparently, he's agoraphobic, and he was suing Sony for repressing his constitutional right to free speech and causing him pain and suffering. His claim that he was exercising his First Amendment right of free speech in the game's public forum... when moderators, who the suit alleges are biased, banned him from Resistance and PlayStation Network altogether. Taking away his rights to free speech would be one thing, but in addition to that, the suit claims that the ban has caused pain and suffering to an already disabled plaintiff. This gentleman suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder, major depression, and Crohn's disease. To ban him from the from PSN robbed him of one of his few sources of pleasure in his life, and he relies on PSN to socialize with other people since it's the only way he can truly socialize.
That doesn't mean you have to be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the suit states that this gentleman has medical documents that prove he really suffers from all those conditions, and okay if he's not lying, that really sucks, but this is just plain ridiculous. He was asking for $55,000 in punitive damages as well as pain and suffering damages. His lawsuit was subsequently
dismissed.
But he is appealing it. Basically, the judge ruled that PSN couldn't be held to the First Amendment standards as a state-owned body, and this hadn't actually violated his rights. Nonetheless, he has appealed it and filed a second suit against Sony for $180,000 in damages. He's also suing Microsoft, seeking $75,000 from Microsoft as a result of his console being hit by the Red Ring of Death. He can't afford to repair or replace unit because he's disabled, he said, and he's seeking compensation for the undue stress he suffered since the demise of the unit and the sadness he will have in the meantime of finding one he can afford. He's also suing Nintendo. His lawsuit against Nintendo centers around the 4.3 update to the Wii firmware, which disabled the homebrew channel. He used the homebrew channel to unlock characters in Mario Kart Wii, and the only way to unlock them without it was to purchase Super Mario Galaxy, essentially forcing customers to buy another game to unlock one character in a different game. He is seeking $5,000 from Nintendo, as well as an injunction against deleting, blocking, or prohibiting the homebrew channel and Ocarina applications. I believe this sort of went a bit crazy, and he also subpoenaed Bill Gates himself to appear at trial. who I'm sure handed it off to his army of lawyers, who went right.
So what part was not?
And then he's suing. He also is suing World of Warcraft. Let's see. His complaint against World of Warcraft essentially breaks down like this. Blizzard charges too much money for World of Warcraft, a problem exacerbated by the fact that the game doesn't let people move around fast enough until they've sunk enough time and money into it to buy a mount or teleportation stone. But mentally ill people who rely on MMOs as their primary form of entertainment and contact with the outside world have a tendency to die when they're deprived of them. And since this guy himself is mentally ill and doesn't want to end up like all the other dead MMOgers out there, he wants the game fixed, quote-unquote. And he wants $1 million in punitive damages for creating a game which hurts gamers rather than being a bridge of entertainment for them to pursue happiness.
Actually, the game was fairly entertaining. Yes, there's irritating parts, but...
Yes, but wait, there's more!
Oh, there's more.
He subpoenaed both Martin Lee Gore of Depeche Mode and actress Winona Ryder to testify. Gore will be a witness on alienation and the ties it has to World of Warcraft, since he himself has been known to be sad, lonely, and alienated, as can be seen in the songs he writes, he explained in an email. Ryder and I share a common interest in the book Catcher in the Rye, which is all about alienation, he continued. She'll be a witness that can explain the significance of alienation in Catcher in the Rye, since she bought one of the original printed copies at an auction. And will also testify to how alienation in the book can tie to alienation in real life / video games such as World of Warcraft. Yeah.
I'm scared by the craziness that has...
Yep, that's a real guy.
That guy is nuts.
That's a real guy.
I mean, I understand the need to socialize, but if you're going to be
those
a
are
dick,
sometimes the type of people you run into on an MMO, and it's
yeah,
it's
and those
this
are the people
whole
you want to actually track down and strangle.
It's the whole impersonal contact you have, and where you don't have a face to associate.
Not
you know?
To mention, if you're going to go on those sites to socialize, why would you be a jerk?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that defeat
the purpose of
the
actually
purpose
going and socializing,
of trying to gain friends?
Right.
Now, once you have gained your followers, I guess you could become a jerk.
Yes.
But there's going to be fallout from that.
But, you know, it's one of those things that, legally this guy doesn't have a leg to stand on, as far as I can tell. But I think it's just, I think this sort of illustrates what Nathan's talking about. I'm wondering as you have these types of personalities out
there. I'm wondering if his possible disability check isn't enough for him to play all these games. So instead of buying food and, you know, the normal things you should buy, he's suing people because he needs money to play.
Oh, and he's representing himself, by the way, which I think is interesting, even that he's an agoraphobe. Well, he's already lost. He's appealing, but I mean, really, he's going to get slapped with court fines because these are frivolous lawsuits. But anyway, sort of went off on a lovely tangent there, but yes.
Oh, you got MMO freaking kidding.
Some people on MMOs, douchebags.
Some people are perfectly nice, but
yeah, so the thing is for the most part, people are very nice. But the thing is it's that one dickhead that you run into that ruins the whole experience for the entire night. You come away from going,
I ran into a few. I didn't run into a lot, but I ran into a few on City of Heroes. I don't think I ever really ran into too many on World of Warcraft.
Oh, the people that are always like, why are you talking like that? That's retarded. It's like, hello, it's a role-playing game.
Well, the big one I had was I was running around as American Cowboy, and I was talking like American Cowboy, you know, like I reckon and da-da-da. And I got someone who got pissed off at me because I kept doing it. And it's like, would you stop doing that? I'm like, no. I reckon I won't. And so he started just griping at me, and I'm like, ignored.
I reckon I'm going to ignore you.
This guy actually went off, logged off, logged back on his different character, and came to harass me again. I was like,
Ignored.
Reporting.
This guy's stalking me.
I'm just like, deal with it.
Yeah, that's messed up.
So this is why I think it's a good thing that they're starting to call them massive multiplayer online games and not massive multiplayer online role-playing games, because yes, it's a game. Yes, it's online. Yes, you're playing a role, but it is not a role-playing game. So
at least they try by splitting up some of them by saying this is a role-playing server.
Yeah.
Though I don't know how well that works.
Doesn't work worth a crap.
Because you can't control that. I mean, there's no way to control it other than boot people, but that's kind of against your business.
Well, World of Warcraft and Warhammer Online and all those other ones, they boot thousands of people a day. They ban thousands of accounts a day because of the whole gold farming crap.
Well, yeah, gold farming.
So the thing is occasionally if you have to boot someone because they do some stupid BS like this, I don't see why that would be any different.
No, what I'm saying is if it's a role-playing site.
Well, if it's a role-playing server, you're going to run into people who are going to be acting in character. If you can't deal with that, don't frickin'
What I was saying is they're not going to kick people who are on the role-playing server just because they're not really role-playing.
Right. So.
Well, yeah.
Well, there you have it.
What we're into.
So, I've been trying to figure out technology to use for my gaming tabletop games. And since my aura of entropy with technology is fairly bad, I approach it at a snail's pace. So some people have been using PowerPoint for many, many years, and I've obviously seen it in use. I just never really played around with it. But I've discovered the joys of PowerPoint and all the neat little things you can do with it. I'm still learning, but as I said earlier in this particular show, you can start a session with it. You could start multiple sessions with it. And I'm going to attempt this. It takes a little bit more work, but I'm hoping by doing so it will organize things. Right now I'm doing my actual races with the PowerPoints and learning how to hide slides, do hyperlinks, things like that. If you can work on those type of skills, and some of you already have those skills, and your chaos, your entropy aura won't destroy your machines, you should really think about attempting some of these things in game. If you already own a laptop, or if your desktop is within your room that you use for gaming, that's great. If you have the money, you could use a projector. Anything to make anything to make the game just more exciting. So what I'm into right now is still working on my gaming world, but also using tools such as Wikipedia, which has awesome information about everything, as well as the tools such as, you know, PowerPoint, maybe Excel in the future, things like that. Also, I've been looking at various props. I still like to play around with some props. I visited a certain store, Michael's, as well as Hobby Lobby, places like that. I just happened to notice, the jewelry department, like the place where you can make jewelry. And there's some cool stuff you could just grab and mm-hmm. use for a game. Which would not be that expensive. Also, something else, because I don't follow forums very much, but occasionally I'll jump on and I'll just type things in and check out various things. But one idea that I'm definitely going to use is pick up some cheap wooden boxes, just small boxes, and you can attach index cards to the bottom of the box or inside the lid with things like traps or treasure, things like that. And you can keep it fairly random too, so it's kind of a surprise to everybody, or just as an added benefit. You know, it's kind of neat for a player to receive a box with some fake gold coins in it, in addition to whatever, like the PowerPoints and anything else you can use. So that's what I'm into right now, and we'll see where it goes.
Proudly present A Thousand Monkeys production of A Monty Cook Adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded surgeon in shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the Night of Dissolution? A dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tolus and bring catastrophe to the world.
With some lovely random encounters, not nearly as much as we've had in the past, but we do have a few random encounters.
Less than five, but more than two?
Yes, in fact. We got an email from our second Canadian fan, Stuart Crump, because we like that name, Stuart Crump.
It is a pretty cool name.
I know, Mr. Crump. Mr. Really sounds like a Dr. Seuss name, you know?
It does.
Yeah, the horrible Mr. Or maybe a detective.
A detective, yeah, or a spy.
That's even better, an Agatha Christie detective. Yeah, an Agatha Christie. Mr. Crump, you are an Agatha Christie detective now. So, there
nothing
you go.
Wrong with Agatha no, Christie. No. I actually, her no, books her are books very are awesome. Enjoyable.
No, and he says, oh, Frabjous Day.
Yeah, the movies, yeah.
He says, oh, Frabjous Day, Kalukale, he chortled in his joy. Quotes from Jabberwocky aside, I'm writing you once more to say words at you in the form of this little anecdote. I listen to your podcast, both the live play sessions and the regular ones, on the bus going back and forth between the cities of St. Catharines, where I live, and Hamilton, where I work in Ontario, Canada. See, now we know where you live, and now we know where you work, and we've broadcast it everywhere, so.
He sent it to us, so.
Yeah.
He's screwed.
I'm a Brit who married a Canadian girl, and although our family migrated to St. Catharines, my job didn't. So I have about an hour and 15 minutes commute each way. That bites. Hour and 15 minutes? Mm-hmm. Tried to fall asleep on the bus. This has nothing to do with the quality of... I tend to fall asleep on the bus. This has nothing to do with the quality of your programming and all to do with my 19-month-old daughter. Yeah, that would... Yeah, that's a good excuse. You know, we'll let you slide with that one. But if she was 20 months, sorry.
Yeah.
Wouldn't work. So I replay episodes quite a bit, and that way I don't miss out on the moments of gaming gold. Not sure how the gold standard measures up against Quatloos. I don't know. What does it measure up to against Quatloos?
Gold's still pretty expensive.
That's true. We still can't, you know, the bank still won't take our Quatloos, though. Yeah, oh, well.
They keep dumping them in the trash.
I know. Rude.
Yeah.
Those cost money to make. Anyway, so on the trip home tonight, I was pleasantly awoken by your reading out my query regarding the music you used for the titles in your Kingdom of Thoth episodes. You did this a while back in like episode 54, Gaming Addictions. Me on a podcast, my tiny brain cell fairly gibbered with amusement. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you for the mention, and rest assured, I may be your fifth fan or sixth, fourth, whatever. I have no idea, but I am a fan. Keep going. Ride the almighty train wreck of podcast joy, or something. Stew Crump. Stew. Well, stick with Stuart. I think Stuart Crump makes a much better Agatha Christie.
We've known some stews that were not very associated.
Yeah, Stew the Hut.
So, yeah. Stuart Crump is...
Stuart Crump is definitely a good, awesome, you know, detective name. So, yeah.
So what Stuart was it Crump, that he asked so. Before?
He was just asking what I used for the intro music for Kingdom of Thoth. And,
what did we use?
I used stuff off of a website that has little audio snippet things. You'd have to go back and listen to episode 54.
Yeah, I don't to get that. Listen to our sessions.
Well, that's because you're a jerk.
No, I just don't want to hear like me talk.
There is that. We don't want to hear you talk.
Well, that's fair. But that's why I keep talking.
Here we are, and listen, hearing you talk. I mean,
I'm just gonna keep going.
We tried, you know, cutting Nathan's tongue out because we don't like hearing him talk either. But Becca made us not do that. She's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, you really don't want to piss my wife off.
No, we don't, really. Or Jeremy's wife. Really, I live more in fear of your wives than you guys. Fair. I think that's appropriate somehow. Anyway, he says, P.S., you're the only people I've known who, when confronted with my surname, have said, hey, that's pretty cool, as opposed to, that's unusual, or what? P.B.S., thank you for keeping the mosquito away from Canada. He doesn't like cold.
Yeah.
So, in fact, with the 4 tons of snow that have fallen here, I think mosquito has migrated south down to the Baja Peninsula.
Yeah, last sighted in Haiti.
He's last sighted in Haiti, yes.
He probably migrated with the one goose I saw today. I want to say geese, but no, it was one goose.
He was flying
south by himself. And I'm like, you're kind of late, buddy.
That is an awesome goose.
Yeah, he's just like, yep. I'm going south now. I stuck
like,
around.
Screw this.
He's going to get down there.
I saw about a dozen geese fly overhead today. Now, if he was smart, he'd do the same thing that Rita, you know, the man, the woman Skeeta, woman Skeeta.
The man Skeeta.
Rita man Skeeta. She's downstairs, you know, in the
Paulita, the man Skeeta. It was Paulita.
Paulina, yes. The man Skeeta.
Oh,
she's downstairs in the terrarium habitat
with
the room.
Oh, yes, he got married. We have a picture from the wedding.
No, I mean, I thought he got a girlfriend in addition to...
Oh, I don't know.
We don't talk about
that. That's between him and man Skeeta, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and Tiger Woods. But, you know.
Whoa. Poor Tiger.
Yeah. That, the man Skeeta, number 18.
When you're a famous golfer with all that much money, I guess you have to spend it on prostitutes.
Hey, I would.
Well, we know you would.
Well, obviously. We got an email from, these names are just awesome. Theron Teeter.
Really?
Theron Teeter.
Theron
Teeter.
Are we pronouncing that correct? Please respond and let us know.
It's like, it's the same cool name. like Theron Teeter, I guess. Teeter. I don't know. That's a great name, though. That's a fantastic name.
Yeah. Why don't we have cool names like this?
No, we have like Nathan and Ethan and Jared. We have really lame names. Should be Buckaroo Banzai or something.
You could change your name legally.
Sweet. I know where the courthouse is, too.
Right.
I want to be Sutmanwala.
You have fun with that. Sutmanwala?
No, Sutmanwala. It's a joke.
We'll call you Wally.
Wally.
Anyway, Theron Teeter. Theron Tedder. Theron. Charlize Theron. Anyway, said, hey guys and gals, I'm just dropping this email with a quick question. Is it intentional that the actual play episodes of Keep on the Shadowfell Redux do not show up in the Gamers Haven actual play feed on iTunes? That's all. I really enjoy your shows. Deadlands is my personal favorite. Thanks for all the content you put out. It makes my days at work so much more pleasant. Okay. Thank you for letting us know. That has been fixed now. Yes. So, Keep on the Shadowfell Redux is now showing up, should show up in the actual play feed on iTunes. So, yeah. I meant to do that. I was just testing you. Yeah. Yeah.
There's one of those little tests for our fans.
Yes, exactly. I do those a lot. You know, just to make sure that they're paying attention.
That seems fair.
And now, with the email that we've all been waiting for, from Sanjian Unkara. We still love the name. I know it says Jason, but you're Sanjian. Says, Ethan, I had to pull over an email you guys during work to say, you bastards.
What did we do now?
I was trying to drive a one-ton box truck and listening to your show, and it came up to the part of your three-parter where Nathan talked about the Conan game. You guys had me laughing so hard my eyes were tearing up. You should have put a do not listen to this sectional operating heavy machinery warning on it or something. P.S. You could have continued with the WotC PDF bashing. I was still listening. So. Well, first of all, we need to talk about boobs.
Boobs, the role playing game.
I do believe that boobs, the role playing game, is now free to get.
No, not.
I know.
Really.
Oh, I know you can get it for $6 at the Half Price Bookstore down here.
No, technically, it's still not free. The thing is they have a free section of the game for the first 10 levels, and you're stuck on that island that we played on in the 14 days.
Is
trial.
There boobs?
Lots and lots
so
and lots of them.
Then there technically is free boobs, which makes it a much better game because there is free boobage.
And the funny thing is most of the people who play
we
female
like saying
characters,
boobs.
Yes, most of the people that play boobs. Female characters run around with no clothes on.
Well, you know, really, boobs. If you have a nice pair of boobs, you might as well.
And none
run
of us have nice boobs. Let
no.
me tell
you.
No.
I mean, you know. Being guys.
But if we were in Age of Conan, we'd have
nice
stunning boobs.
Yeah. Yes, and we would show
Which
them
be
off.
Creepy because we might still be guys.
That's true.
That would be disturbing.
I would be interested to see how many guys are just go on and play women. I don't play
around.
Women on the role playing games, but I would play one there for
the
boobs.
Thing. I play women on most online games.
Because of boobs.
Because the characters usually look far better than the
men. And they
characters.
Have boobs.
And they do have boobs. But mostly because the characters just look better.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The
boobs.
Male characters always look
Definitely
like linebackers.
Really, I just like saying boobs.
Don't blame you.
I know.
Boobs are awesome.
But yes, Age of Boobs, very cheap now.
Age of Boobs, $6. But do you have to pay it for it monthly?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
So you don't want to play just the free part? Yes, there is a monthly fee of $14.99.
But guys, you're missing the free boobs.
Yes, we heard the free
but
boobs.
They're
Did I mention there were free boobs?
They're pixelated boobs.
Some of us, that's the only boobs we get.
Yeah, let me put it this way, Jeremy. Let me put it this way. They're DirectX 9 and DirectX 10 pixelated boobs, which are a hell of a lot higher pixelation or a hell of a lot better resolution pixels than you're used to.
So do you think that someday the pixelated boobs will look better than the real boobs?
Yes.
What are you talking about? Most of the time, the pixelated boobs do look better than the real thing.
That's very sad.
Just
That's
answer
very
that
sad.
In a very thorough manner. Yes.
Let's put it this way. Pixelated boobs stay in one spot.
Yeah.
Real boobs do things that scare you.
Sometimes, but give me a pair of, you know, real boobs anytime.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's something you aspire to. But for those of us that don't have real boobs to do whatever with, you can get free boobs on Age
That's
of Conan.
True. You can get free boobs.
And for those of you who have...
Oh, God, it's so funny.
For those of you who don't have real boobs to lay your head on,
oh,
you can get
it's only $6 boobs.
Or free boobs. There, yeah.
No, they're free. You don't have to even buy it. You don't even have to buy the software. Just play the free version. Get
exactly.
Free boobs.
Free boobs. Total boobs. Oh, and now boob. I mean, WotC PDF bashing. Yeah, WotC still sucks. They haven't done anything with their PDF.
Yeah, what the hell?
Stuff,
Why don't they have any boobs?
I still find it amusing though that they release Dragon and Dungeon as PDFs still. So
with boobs?
No.
Although there might be boobs in there somewhere, I haven't seen any.
Just an ad.
Just an ad for boobs?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Boobs, the role-playing game. Probably... Yes!
No, they wouldn't...
No, that was that other game. That was that other...
They wouldn't advertise for Mongoose Publishing.
Yeah. Was it Mongoose? I thought it was...
No, I just like, you know, bashing on Mongoose Publishing.
That's fair. But do you remember that? Do you remember the original cover for that was it Mongoose that put out that cover with the fairy?
The fairy. That wasn't Mongoose, yes. Was it?
Yeah.
Yes, and yes, an Eighth Pagan sent us unedited
picture. Right. And it was wow, we thought the original was bad.
No, that was Avalanche Press.
They're the ones with all the boobs.
They're the boobs role playing.
They were just disturbing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one with the fairy lady on the front was disturbing enough. Edited.
And you can see your kidneys.
Yeah.
Was this like, whoa.
You could see your kidneys on the inside.
I mean...
You know how there's those boobs that you go, hey, those are boobs. And then there's ones that you go, oh, those are boobs. this was the latter. God.
Those are the man killer style.
Well, it was kind
of hit you
in
the head, break your neck.
It's like Playboy and Hustler.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, nice and tasteful and, God.
That should not be put in print.
So they're not going to do any PDFs.
No, they're still not doing them.
Douchebaggery.
This is back when they pulled them off of RPG Now and all those places because of the piracy.
Yeah.
With PHP2. Because
they can control piracy so well.
So well.
Oh, yeah, and it's worked so well because you can still get them.
When are they going to launch the WotC ships? When are the WotC ships going to go out and attack the pirates?
I would totally watch that. That'd be awesome.
Probably would be.
What if they were spelljammers?
That they would... probably be alone because I don't think anybody else has spelljammers.
That's true.
So they'd just be.
So it'd be more
around.
Of a one-sided battle.
Yeah, it'd
then,
be
yeah.
really. Hmm. There's no pirates up here.
Well, we got nothing. We are victorious. No pirates.
The rest of us are just sitting here going, "What the hell does that happen?"
I'm gonna go download some WotC PDFs.
Hey, look,
WotC because it's curbed
PDFs.
It so much. Entirely.
They just need to release PDFs.
And suck it up, yeah.
They could just
it's like the whole DRM crap, you know. Doing this only hurts the consumer, the legitimate consumer,
right?
Because now instead of the legitimate consumer being
they
able to get it legitimately,
now
if they want it in
illegally.
A PDF, they have to do it illegally. That's
yeah.
it. And I really think that WotC's probably going to try to develop their own format.
Why waste the money?
No, yeah, and it's going to be an entire waste of money.
Why
because somebody somewhere is going to find a way around it. Somebody somewhere is going to hack it. Someone's going to be able to print it to a PDF, whatever. And
that would,
someone will figure
yeah,
it out.
That's such a waste of money. Their money should be going back into the game mm-hmm. to make cooler stuff.
Exactly.
Which they should really send us a copy of...
everything.
Well, that would be cool, too. But more importantly, right now, since it came out, the Elemental Planes one.
Oh, the
Planes
Elemental
Below.
Chaos.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too impressed with that one.
Well, that's why I want a free copy.
That's true.
Because then I can review it. I want a free copy, so I'll review it and tell them if it was good or bad. Two thumbs up, two thumbs down. In the trash, on my shelf. And then they need to send me a PDF of it.
Sigh.
Yeah, that's going to be a waste of money if they do that.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
On a positive note, the online Eberron game, when I looked at my character's graphics, they look really pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, if you have Windows 7 or Windows Vista on there, you can do DirectX 10 with that video card, and it'll look really sweet. Because the DirectX 10 graphics look even better.
Yeah, but that'd mean upgrading to...
the operating system?
Yeah. And I like XP.
Yeah.
XP's fine.
Well, Windows 7 is nice, I have to admit. Windows 7 is nice. What do you think of Windows 7 so far?
It's Windows Vista without all the pain in
the discomfort.
Windows Vista was, It's Windows Vista, except without the, are you sure you want to do that? 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 Really? I mean, seriously, this is important. Do you want to press that key? Think about it. It's like it was like, you know, living with a hostage negotiator. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you positive? Really? No, no.
Negotiator have boobs?
You know, if Vista shipped with boobs, it would have, I think, been
probably
a much better product.
Yeah.
You know? They're like, here's box and boobs. I don't know if boobs in a jar, dehydrated boob. That'd be kind of gross, really.
Oh, it'd be like old and shriveled.
Oh, oh. They just add water.
Just add water.
No, they would still say old and shriveled. And...
Ew.
Really?
I can see why they didn't do that.
Somebody could just send Ethan some boobs.
That's true. Please
but
don't.
The problem with that is we might have some crazy.
Problem with that is crossing state lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be on any federal watch lists or anything. And
he accepted a package of boobs. There was three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we're just good. Pictures. Just send him pictures of boobs.
No, don't even. If I want pictures of boobs, I can find them.
That's pretty easy to do.
And you know,
that'd be hilarious.
If I get any pictures of boobs, Jeremy's getting the Jabba picture. I'll find it.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure it's everywhere for him.
Even everywhere. In the bathrooms.
Oh yeah, yes. Especially in the bathrooms.
You know, some point we need to talk again about.
We'll spend the money. I'll make it in a big, 6-foot banner.
We need to again talk about.
We'll be able to see pubic hair.
Outhouses.
That's right. The outhouses. Yes.
Someday.
Oh, well, we can't talk about outhouses. This is a family show, Jeremy.
Right.
So we can't talk about outhouses on this. No. That's enough, man. We can't talk about outhouses on this show because that's just wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Entirely wrong.
Yeah.
And that's our show for today. We'll leave you with that. Randomness.
Send Ethan boobs.
And I think we'll just end with boobs.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. This has been a Thousand Monkeys production. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can email the show at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website to find our episode archives, our actual play, our main feed, as well as promos, links, and a gallery. You'll also find our RPG Now Pick of the Week, our Amazon Pick of the Week, and you can even go through some of our snippet review episodes. We are also shameless, and if you wish to donate some money to the wonderful Gen Con Fund, or just give money to the show in general, there is also a donate button on our site via PayPal. So visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven is part of the Vorpal Network. The Gamers Haven podcast and Thousand Monkeys Productions and CantCon are copyright by Ethan Parker. Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music for the show is provided by Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. Other music is used with permission under license. Just like Bruce Campbell.